Let everyone tremble in fear, because the day of the Lord is upon us. It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of thick clouds and deep blackness. But suddenly, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a great and mighty army appears. Nothing like it has been seen before or will ever be seen again. Fire burns in front of them, and flames follow after them. Ahead of them lies the land, as beautiful as the Garden of Eden. Behind them is nothing but desolation. Not one thing escapes. They look like horses. They charge forward like war horses. Look at them as they leap along the mountaintops. Listen to the noise they make, like the rumbling of chariots, like the roar of fire sweeping across a field of stubble, or like a mighty army moving into battle. Fear grips all the people. Every face grows pale with terror. The attackers march like warriors and scale city walls like soldiers. Straight forward they march, never breaking rank. They never jostle each other. Each moves in exactly the right position. They break through the defenses without missing a step. They swarm over the city and run along its walls. They enter all the houses, climbing like thieves through the windows. The earth quakes as they advance, and the heavens tremble. The sun and moon grow dark, and the stars no longer shine. The Lord is at the head of the column. He leads them with a shout. This is His mighty army, and they follow His orders.
Good morning, Patriots! Hey, I hope you guys are having a great day. I'm Melissa Redpill, got my sidekick Tammy with us. Good morning, Miss Tammy.
Good morning.
I'm so excited that I'm proud of you guys. Here it is on a Saturday morning, and you're here to study the Word of God. I'm really proud of you. You guys are my diehard Patriots. I don't know about you guys, but I just love that I'm finally understanding the minor prophets. You know, those books really always felt like hidden books to me, and I didn't really get it. And now connecting it to what's happening now, that they were giving a message to us, really just is, it locks it all in and also gives us so much encouragement in this day. This is my website, you guys, melissaredpill.com. Go over there and get all of the great resources over there. Absolutely free, just tons of videos over there. You'll find our social media, The Real Melly over there, and my wonderful team, Tammy and another Tammy and Cheryl and Colleen. Everyone helps to make all this happen. So give them a heart and give them some love, and we really appreciate it. And so, yeah, so check out that as well. As when you go over there, definitely go to the page that says End Times right here, End Times Intro. Check that out. You'll see all the resources about End Times, little videos over there. And, you can see the books that I've written. And then farther down at the very bottom, you'll see the link to the studies that we've done. Now, this is our study on End Times, Major Clues from Minor Prophets. But we have already completed the one on End Times, and I don't have the book right here with me, but anyway, is that what you're looking for?
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, so yeah, so this is a study of all these minor prophets and how this it connects with what is happening right now. All right, so it's very, very, very cool. I'm very thankful. Don't forget, hit the like button right now. Hit it right now. I know you're like me. You'll forget, and I'll forget. And you know what I just realized is that my I just got my YouTube account back, okay? For those of you who are not aware, I was banned off of YouTube along with several other, thousands of other Patriots were banned October 15th, 2020, just before President Trump's election. And so, when he won, right? Anyway, so I was banned, but, never really given any hope that they would ever, get it back, tried to appeal, but whatever. Anyway, so they just proved that we would get back over there. And of course, I'm so used to being on Rumble, I can say whatever I please. Thank you, Rumble. Thank you, Rumble. I love free speech. I love free speech. So guess what? I already got a strike. I'm in timeout already. Literally from the first video that I posted, I got in timeout. So if you're here, okay, so what happened was I did post like a little clip of the end times clip that I have over here. If you haven't seen that, definitely go to this page right here at the top. You'll see this little clip that's like says the truth about end times in 5 minutes, whatever. So I had put that over there, and then I posted the one that President Trump did on autism. They flipped out. They did not like that at all. So I don't even know, because I'm going to post this one on when I get it back. I hope I don't, even saying the word is like, ah. Anyway, it's if you guys saw that, and if you were like, because a lot of people were saying, where have you been, Molly? Where you're back? Where have you been for the past 5 years? And so they were so excited to see, and I'm alive. Anyway, so yeah, what I realized is everybody make sure that you have your bell rung so that you are notified when I do a live video or post one, because those people who found me were obviously had their little YouTube bell rung, so they knew when I came back, which was kind of cool. I was like, now I know who's the ones who had their bell rung. So it's a good idea. And I also did a surprise video this week. And so those of you who had your bell rung, you already knew that this was happening. Of course, I always post it on social media. But if you want to be the first in line to know what's going on, definitely do that. And so for those of you who are new to me, I look at the current events in the light of God's word. This is literally biblical. And so I'm very thankful to play that part in this whole thing. That's my favorite. All right, so we're going to pray. And we're going to get started on Zechariah. I hope you guys have done your homework. Let's pray. I thank you so much, Lord, that you have spoken to our hearts and you've helped us you've awakened us, first of all, and then you've helped us through every day. And thank you for this Feast of Trumpets that we're getting to see all these amazing trumpet blasts day after day after day. So exciting to watch and know how this is biblical. This is the end times for them and 1,000 years of peace for us. We just can't even believe. We're all pinching ourselves, Lord, that you've allowed us to experience this and to live in this day where we're going to enter into the golden age and health and wealth and peace. Thank you for the minor prophets and how they told us everything about this that we needed to know for this day, because they knew you told them how crazy it was going to be. Thank you, Lord, that you've brought us together as a battalion and that we're fighting alongside each other. We'll always know forever that we fought alongside each other in the great battle of Armageddon. What a blessing. What an honor. I love every one of them. And I thank you that you brought us all together. Lord, as we read your word, we ask that you would bless it, speak it to our hearts, help us to understand it, and just most importantly, just speak it and touch our hearts with the truth of it. And we, as you always do, do that for us and make yourself known through your word. We praise you and we love you and we are so thankful you're the king of the world and that you're assuming your role as the king. And we pray all this in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody, let's do it. Okay, so we have this book right here. Like I said, this is the table of contents. I'm going to make it a little bit bigger so you can see where we are. I'm so amazed how we have come a long way. We are on chapter 13. Can you believe that, Tammy?
I know.
We have just moved right along, and most of the chapters have just required, one is video, and like I said, you can go over on the melissaredpill.com and find all the other videos. They're all, Tammy, make sure they're all in a nice little neat place for you to find them. But on Zechariah, I'm thinking that's going to take 4 weeks. So, and what's so cool is the book of Zechariah, if you've already done your homework, you already know this, but Zechariah is basically the book of Revelation in the Old Testament, right? I mean, it's like so many of the symbols that are used in the book of Revelation were already used in the book of Zechariah, 700 years before. So really super cool to understand that. And so, when the Lord was giving the revelation to John, it wasn't just completely from scratch. It was a continuation of the revelation. And really the Bible is all of it. I mean, basically when you start in Genesis and it is all continuing from that point on, there's, you know, it's just an expansion of what the Lord is doing in the earth to rescue humanity. So you're going to love this about Zechariah. It's but we're going to go slow. We're not going to try to race through. We're going to do it, you know, slowly. And, you know, just make sure everybody knows that we're not going through every verse, but at least to give, you know, an understanding of what it's talking about. All right. So now, remember, always, when we start, whenever we're looking at the Old Testament prophets, we understand that they were talking about to the people in their day. They were these people who were living in that day, had been worshiping, you know, Baal. They had, their leaders had gotten them involved in this Baal worship, and they were doing all this evil, and so they were having to be rooted out. This is our ancestors, many of us, and so they had to be rooted out of the land. And but the Lord was loved them still. They just had to be chastened, disciplined, corrected. Okay, and so we always look at it that okay, there's part of it. That's one part of the fulfillment of this passage, but there's also a dual fulfillment for our day, that we are, that this was written for us, for the people, for the saints in the latter times. I sound like a Mormon, right? But it's biblical. There's the latter day saints, the people who are living in this time of the end times. And again, when you ever hear the word end times, always remember it's the end times for the bad guys. Not the end times for us, it's the end times for them. All right, so Tammy, my lovely assistant, would you please read for us Zechariah chapter 1, 2 through 6?
Okay. Yahweh was very displeased with your fathers. Therefore tell them, Yahweh of armies says, return to me, says Yahweh of armies, and I will return to you, says Yahweh of armies. Don't you be like your fathers, to whom the former prophets proclaimed, saying, Yahweh of armies says, return now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they didn't hear nor listen to me, says Yahweh. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my decrees, which I commanded my servants, the prophets, didn't they overtake your fathers? Then they repented and said, just as Yahweh of armies determined to do to us according to our ways and according to our practices, so he has dealt with us.
Yep, yep. So what's he saying to the people? Basically, they had... Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Stop what you're doing.
Right. And unfortunately, I mean, and we've all actually heard about these things, kind of. You know, we knew about the Baal worship. We knew about, you know, these horrible rituals that they would do. And they were saying, oh, to appease the gods, we must offer a virgin, you know, that kind of thing. Well, that's what they really were convinced that they had to do. It's outrageous. If you didn't watch the Micah one, go back and watch the Micah one, because that famous passage that we've always heard where the Lord says, what have I told you, O man, but to love to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Well, that was right after he was saying, they were saying, oh, what should we do? Should we offer our firstborn child? You know, he's like, no, I want you to act justly and love mercy and walk humbly with your God. So this is, you know, they were clearly involved in all of this. And that's, you know, the fulfillment for that, those people, that they were being rooted out. But the fulfillment now is for the current day Baal worshipers, that they will be rooted out. They must be removed. Okay. All right, so, you know, but my words, my decrees, which I commanded my servants, didn't they overtake your fathers? And then they repented. They said, just as Yahweh of armies had determined to do to us, according to our ways and according to our practices, so he has dealt with us. In other words, like if your parent says, well, if you do this, you're going to get a spanking, right? Or you're going to get a timeout, or you're going to get, like me with YouTube, you're going to get a timeout. Okay. But if you'll just, you know, do the right thing, you don't get, you know, the punishment. So that's what the Lord was saying to them at that time. Anything else you want to add to that, Miss Tammy?
No.
Anybody else? Y'all go ahead and shout it out in the chat. I'm watching the chat, and so is Tammy, to see if there's anything else you wanted to add that you had, when you had done your homework. Hopefully, y'all give me a thumbs up. You did your homework, right? Because really, it's much better if you do it yourself. It really puts your, it helps your mind to really go through the mental work of understanding this. That's, you know, that's how the Lord helped me to decode it was because I just had to sit and think about it and dwell on it and meditate on it and pray on it and say, Lord, please help me to understand what is this talking about. And so it really, I really encourage you to do the homework, not just to check in on the videos. You know, I'm glad you're here, but it's like, I'll be the little school mom, right? You've got to do your homework. All right. So how did the tyrants treat the Lord's people? And what did the Lord do in Zechariah 1:14-17? Go ahead, Tammy.
Okay, so the angel who talked with me said to me, proclaim, saying, Yahweh of armies says, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy, for I am very angry with the nations that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, but they added to the calamity. Therefore, Yahweh says, I have returned to Jerusalem with mercy. My house shall be built in it, says Yahweh of armies, and a line shall be stretched out over Jerusalem. Proclaim further, saying, Yahweh of armies says, my cities will again overflow with prosperity, and Yahweh will again comfort Zion, and will again choose Jerusalem.
Okay, sorry. Okay, I haven't talked about Bella lately. Sorry. I'm going to post this picture here in a minute because every time we do a video, she just loves your voice, I guess, Tammy. She loves to hear us read the word. She loves being part of the Bible study. So I was, she's growing up. She's really getting to be a nice little member of the family, especially because her bladder's getting bigger. So that helps a lot. All right. So this is what it's saying here in verses 14-17. How is the Lord going to punish his people, right? How is he going to punish? He doesn't have a big corner to put everybody in time out, right? He doesn't have what's he going to do? Well, he used the Assyrians. He used the Babylonians. He used Nebuchadnezzar, who took them off into captivity. He used the Assyrians, who took them off into the 10 northern tribes into a captivity in Assyria. This is what he does. He uses them to punish. They had to be corrected. And if you remember, Jonah was so angry with the Assyrians. He hated the people of Nineveh in Assyria. That's the capital of Assyria, because of what they had done and taken the people captive. But the problem was the Lord, used them for his purpose because the people of Israel had been involved in Baal worship. Simple as that. Simple as that. And so they had to be punished, and that's what they used. But he says, I was angry with them, but the Assyrians went too far. You see what it says? I'm very angry with the nations that are at ease, for I was a little displeased with my people, in other words, but they added to the calamity. So it's like, okay, they needed a spanking, but they didn't need to be, killed, right, and all the things. So that's... Does that make sense? That's what he's saying. They went too far. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, we're hearing, it's close to today. There, people are being used to, I feel, but they're going way over too far. The people that are being killed, the things that are happening, they just have no, they're fighting their last fights. That's all I can say. They're going to get every hit in.
Right. So exactly. So, this is kind of interesting. So if you're watching this in the future, I want to tell you that right now is September 27th, 2025, and we are in the middle of the Feast of Trump. And so we are watching a lot come out and exposing the criminals and, bringing down, I better not say the word, that President Trump just talked about, that big jab. Because in the future I might parse my words a little bit more. But anyway, he's also, Comey was just indicted. I mean, all these things are happening before our eyes right now. Really, really exciting, and to bringing down this entire cabal. But it's the Feast of Trumpets. At the end of the Feast of Trumpets, and I'm going to talk about this tomorrow on the video, on the 28th of September, on for our regular Sunday show, we're going to have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is the day when all the captives are freed and the debts are canceled. This is biblical in Leviticus 25. So we're looking at how, we're going to have all these things set right. And wouldn't that be great if it was on this Day of Atonement this year? Wouldn't that be great? So yeah, they have done and done and done to us, whether it's through the weaponization of the justice system or all of the big you know, the bad things that they put into our bodies or all these different things, they've gone too far. You know, we had to learn our lesson to never mess with Baal worship, never be a part of this, but this was too far for them to literally try to eradicate humanity. The problem is they worship demons. And so that's what the demons want them to do. All right, so yeah, that's basically, thank you for adding that. The current fulfillment is against the New World Order, that they've gone too far. Thank you so much. Okay, but the Lord promised in verse 17, my cities will again overflow with prosperity, and Yahweh will again comfort Zion and will again choose Jerusalem. Isn't that wonderful how he always, in the middle of we hear bad news, he always tells us the good news, right? All right. Very good. Everybody good? I'm gonna read the chat just a second and go ahead, Tammy, and answer number two. Mm-hmm. There are so many wonderful promises in Zechariah 2, 4 through 13. What are some of the big promises we've been watching and waiting for?
Mm-hmm. All right. And said to him, run, speak to this young man, saying Jerusalem will be inhabited as villages without walls because of the multitude of men and livestock in it. For I, says Yahweh, will be to her a wall of fire around it, and I will be the glory in the middle of her. Come, come, flee from the land of the north, says Yahweh, for I have spread you abroad as the four winds of the sky, says Yahweh. Come, Zion, escape, you who dwell with the daughter of Babylon. For Yahweh of armies says, for honor he has sent me to the nations, which plundered you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. For behold, I will shake my hand over them, and they will be a plunder to those who serve them. And you will know that Yahweh of armies has sent me. Then you will know that the Lord of heaven's armies has sent me. Sing and rejoice, daughter of Zion, for behold, I come and I will dwell within you, says Yahweh. Many nations shall join themselves to Yahweh in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell among you. And you shall all know that Yahweh of armies has sent me to you. Yahweh will inherit Judah as his portion in the Holy Land, and will again choose Jerusalem. Be silent, all flesh, before Yahweh, for he has raised himself from his holy habitation.
Yes, I love it. I love it. This is the promise to the people back in the day. And this is literally 2,700 years ago, but it's also really a fulfillment for us now. So if you see, for example, in verse 5, I will be to her a wall of fire around it. I will be the glory in the middle of her. Give me the amen to that, right, guys? The Lord is our glory. Everything else is you know, extra. But this is the glory, is that the Lord dwells within us and that he's always around us. Isn't that the truth? Yeah. So we'll be inhabited with villages without walls. What does that mean? There won't be a need for us to just be constantly locked in to be protected from the bad guys, right? This is verse 4, it says that. That's what President Trump is really doing right now. He just called out the military to go and aid ICE so that they are able to do their jobs. And so if you remember from post, I think it's 34, it says, if anyone is trying to harm us during this time, they'll be met with swift fury. I just posted that. So here we go. Here we go. That's what it's about. And you know, we're going to have our country where it's safe again, where you do not have to lock everything down and fear for your life if you walk the streets. That is a place where the demons are operating, right? But that's not what the Golden Age is about. The Golden Age is about safety. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, I'm so happy. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. Tammy and I are working on the book, The Golden Age, and it's just going to be so wonderful. And that's why I said the book is taking so long, because it's like, oh, so many things that the Lord has promised to us in this day. All right, so there's that, that he is the glory in the middle of her and the wall of fire around us. I mean, I just love that we are here together, because there's just such a beautiful unity around the Lord and around his word. We can find so many things to disagree about, but it's so great when there's unity in the Lord. And in the Golden Age, there'll be unity and the truth, really. And I'm not going to get off into this whole subject, but if you remember the woman at the well, she said that when this Messiah came, that he would just explain all these things to everyone. So all the religions are going to realize that Jesus is the king of the world. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he's the Lord. So it's going to be so cool. It's going to be so awesome. This beautiful glory in the middle of her. And so come, you got to flee though for now, because I've got to spread you as far as the four winds. I've got to scatter you. And that's exactly what he did, again, 2,700 years ago. To this day, we're at that point where finally we're going to be brought back together. Everyone will be, you know, wherever you live, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. It's going to be everyone worshiping the Lord. Now, and that we are the apple of his eye. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The thing, what do you protect more than anything just about? It's like, oh, cover my eyes, right? The apple of your eye is just this, you know, there's nothing more precious to you than your eyesight. You know, I might be able to go without a toe. I might be able to go without a lot of things, but I need my eyes, you know? And it just really affects you. So the Lord feels that way with us, that we are his precious, special possession. He says, he sent me to the nations which plundered you. They have plundered us. Plunder is where they take everything. They take your peace. They take your mental health. They take your physical health. They take your everything. Right? And so, you know, he's going to shake them and they will be a plunder to us. This is what it says in verse 9. They will be a plunder to us, to those who serve them. We have served them. We've been their slaves and we're going to plunder them. If you remember when we studied the book of Nahum, that was loot the silver, plunder the gold. All of it will come back to us. And not just that, it's that all the power that they've had over us, we will have the power. And we are seeing this right now with President Trump going in and saying, oh, you thought you could run this justice system where it's a political witch hunt? Nope, I'm in control now. And we're going to run this by justice. That, you know, the ones who do the evil are the ones who will pay the price. Remember the verse that says, you know, that there's the proverb that he who is eating sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. You know, what that's saying is, one person does the crime and someone else does the time. He says, you'll no more have that proverb. We're going to have everybody, you know, all of the things that they plundered, the justice system, the financial system, the education system, the entertainment, everything is going to be plundered back to us. How about that? How about that? What is it? Say it again.
Our churches.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes, Lord. Well, and you know, I was just posted something yesterday how the Baptist Church was completely supporting, you know, the Zionists. You're like, well, that explains a lot. That control construct will be gone, but it won't be ripped up like you remember how the Lord Jesus said not to take out the wheat with the. The weeds, whatever. There were weeds mixed in, and they kind of look alike. Like, okay, mm-hmm. which is which? He's not going to dismantle, I don't think, the religions, but it'll be run properly. Think of everything being run properly. All right. So, and also he says, sing and rejoice, for behold, I've come, and I will dwell within you. Okay, daughter of Zion. Zion is the true name of the city of God. So it's a good word. They just hijacked it, as they always do. Anyway, so I will come and I will dwell within you. Love it. How about that? Every eye will see him. All right. And everyone will know he's the Lord. All right. So be silent, all flesh, before Yahweh, for he has roused himself from his holy mountain. Think of it as a lion. And he's been sleeping or just, you know, just resting. But then he gets up and he's going to tear them limb from limb. Be silent. Beware. Uh-oh. The lion is awake. If you remember, there's a verse where it says, our Lord Jesus said, I've long been silent, but I will pant and I will groan like a woman in labor. Of course, that harkens back to the famous picture everybody has seen. I'm going to show you again because I always have to. This wonderful sign in the heavens, the sign of the Son of Man that happened September 23rd, 2017, the beginning of this wonderful time of Armageddon, this daunting time of Armageddon. But this is how he roused himself. This is where we are, my friends. This is where we are. Be silent, for he has roused himself from his holy mountain. Praise the Lord. We're living in the day. We're so, so blessed. Okay, number three. This is why we're only going to do 5 questions today. That's why. Okay, what happened to Joshua the high priest in Zechariah 3, 1 through 10, after Satan brings him before the Lord with many accusations against him?
He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before Yahweh's angel, and Satan standing at his right hand to be his adversary. Yahweh said to Satan, Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. Yes, Yahweh, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Isn't this a burning stick plucked out of the fire? Joshua's clothing was filthy as he stood there before the angel. He answered and spoke to those who stood before him, saying, take the filthy garments off him. To him he said, behold, I have caused your iniquity to pass from you, and I will clothe you with rich clothing. I said, let them set a clean turban on his head. So they set a clean turban on his head and clothed him, and Yahweh's angel was standing by. Yahweh's angel solemnly assured Joshua, saying, Yahweh of armies says, if you will walk in my ways, and if you will follow my instructions, then you also shall judge my house, and shall also keep my courts, and I will give you a place of access among these who stand by. Hear now, Joshua the high priest, you and your fellows who sit before you, for they are men who are a sign. For behold, I will bring out my servant, the branch. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone are 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave its inscription, says Yahweh of armies, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. In that day, says Yahweh of armies, you will invite every man his neighbor under the vine and under the fig tree.
Oh my goodness, I love that. I cannot wait until we can all have someone come to, you know, under our vine and under our fig tree, because what that means is, you know, right now it's just so hard to have a conversation with people because you're afraid if you say one little thing, like me on YouTube, you're banned. You're out, right? And that person gets so angry because everybody's been so brainwashed. But everyone will be able to relax and enjoy each other's company again. Oh, praise the Lord. It's going to be wonderful. It won't always just be this constant, like, you know, everybody's so upset about things. But yeah, look at this. Okay, so Joshua is the high priest. He stood before the Lord. And of course, who is standing there to rail against him? It was Satan, of course, his adversary. And Yahweh said to Satan, Yahweh rebuke you, Satan. Yes, Yahweh, who has chosen Jerusalem, rebuke you. Isn't this a burning stick plucked out of the fire? He says, I'm not hearing anything you have to say against my chosen Joshua. And the Lord says the same thing about you, my wonderful battalion. The Lord says, I'm proud of you. I am proud of you. And Satan cannot say one word against you. Not one. He says, rebuke you out. I don't want to hear it. Isn't that great? This is the way the Lord feels about you. He's very proud that you have stood up and have spoken out and have stood on his side. And so we are all like a burning stick just plucked out of the fire of Satan, that he wanted to destroy us. I was just seeing the people are on the chat talking about, we were in a situation where, you know, I'm so scared to say anything, but all the things that have been doing to us, and we just had, I better not say what you said, H. Clay, about the JAB. Anyway, you know, we have been in such danger from these people on every side, walking down the street, you know, oh my goodness, you hear more about these poor people being scammed. The scam artists are out in force. They even literally, this lady I just heard about yesterday, they've been using AI to convince her that it was her daughter in jail, and it wasn't. It was AI daughter. It was fake. And they used all this information that they got off of Facebook. But anyway, so the point is, we've all been like a burning stick plucked out of the fire of all this evil that they tried to do to us through our health and our wealth and everything that they've done to us. The wars. It's a miracle anybody survives everything that they have done to us. If they couldn't get us one way, they tried to get us 10 different others. but the Lord has rescued us. We're like a, he just plucked us like a burning stick out of the fire. Take that image. It's a, you know, you see a fire and he's like, okay, I see all, everything's burning up. I'm going to pluck out these sticks. I'm going to save them and, you know, tamp out the fire. So yeah. And the Lord took off this filthy garments. He says, your iniquity is passing from you. I've caused your iniquity to pass from you. I will clothe you with rich clothing. And think about that for all of humanity. Okay. He was just like back in the, this, in the day during the first fulfillment, the Lord was not angry with the people. He wanted them to be chastened and disciplined, but he was going to restore them. And the same thing for all of humanity now. He's going to clothe us all of humanity, the righteous in humanity will be clothed with this beautiful like a turban. Now, I'm not really big on turbans, but you get the point. It's something beautiful and something an honorable clothing, honorable. Everything will be honorable instead of us wearing rags, you know, and just struggling. All right. So he says also, I love this. He says, I've caused your iniquity to pass from you. That is such Day of Atonement language. The Day of Atonement is when you would show that your sins are atoned for, your sins are forgiven, your sins are wiped out. It's a judicial finding, basically, on the Day of Atonement. They would send the, you know, that's what that day, they would put their hand onto the head of the sacrificial animal and pass the sins to them judicially. The sins are passed, remitted, gone, and propitiated, really, because the Lord Jesus took them on himself, right? So it says also a little farther down, it says, I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. That day really is the Day of Atonement. I'm just saying. Biblically, that is the day when it says in Leviticus 25 that the captives are freed and the debts are canceled. And why is that? It's because they're set free. They're set free from all these things. All these things are removed. That is biblically what it's talking about for the Day of Atonement. Imagine you are royalty, and you are a royal priesthood. Imagine you're royalty and you have been in a dungeon like Joseph. And then all of a sudden, the Lord was, clearly for Joseph, but it looked like he's, a loser. He's in prison and prison clothes and, no freedom. And he's all that he's going through in this horrible situation. And within one day, the Lord raised him up. This is what's going to happen to humanity. That's what we're seeing. That's what I kind of would think that it's going to happen on the Day of Atonement. And I'm just saying, that's coming up on Wednesday. This is biblically the picture that we have. Okay. So for those of you who are not familiar with those kinds of stories, I wrote this book right here. This is Biblical, 17 Bible Stories Happening Before Our Very Eyes, where I talk about Joseph. I said, we are like Joseph being removed from that prison cell and being placed into these positions of authority. That's one of the stories in this book. This is Biblical. If you haven't seen that one, and you can actually go and listen to the books on the audiobooks right here on melissaredpill.com. You can listen to the audiobooks. Very, very encouraging to see that the Lord gave us a roadmap through all these Bible stories. Like, oh, now I see. They weren't just individual stories. It was a roadmap for us to see how he was going to use us and to set the whole world free. How cool is that? Anything else you want to add about Joshua before we go?
Other than just hope and pray it's the Day of Atonement, but he can take whatever day he wants.
Right, exactly. We've all learned that. We're just going to trust the plan.
Yes,
We're going to trust the plan. But I do think it's
day.
Yeah, I do think it's really exciting to see, and I've got to say I was right.
I know it's all coming.
Right, biblical. Right, and so I just have to say I was right. Because I was saying, this would happen on the, what the Feast of Trumpets is about. And sure as the world, on the 22nd was when President Trump, which is the beginning of the Feast of Trumpets, because it's a 10-day festival. On that day was when he designated Antifa as a terrorist organization, which that allows him to go nab all these bad guys like Soros. Okay, mm-hmm. And then he also did the whole issue with RFK coming out, exposing all that he did with the JABs and all that. So you've got that. I mean, then you've had the Comey. I mean, this we've been getting a trumpet blast every day. So I'm just mm-hmm. saying, the Lord put those that beautiful festival for us for a reason, so that we could connect the dots. And then the Day of Atonement is not something that we've really studied. They've not talked about it. Not only did they not talk about the minor prophets, they didn't talk about the festivals. Most churches didn't, because they were controlled by the Zionists. Okay, and so they're like, "Oh, well, that's for the Jews. You don't look at that. That's not for you. That's not for you. Don't look at that." Well, you know what? The very thing they don't want us to look at, that's what we're looking at. We're going to look at it. And so the Day of Atonement is the beautiful day. The Lord has said that would happen. Mm-hmm. The captives would be freed and the debts would be canceled. So, and if you remember last year on the Day of Atonement was when President Trump announced the Golden Age. That was his first time to ever say the Golden Age. Just saying. All right, so now number 4 in Zechariah 4, 1 through 14, twice the angel asks Zechariah to tell him what he saw and if he understood what it meant. But both times Zechariah answered, "I don't know." Okay, that's where we've been. Okay, so I'm not picking on Zechariah because we just didn't know. We just didn't know. We didn't know. You know, and that's the way Zechariah was. I don't know. So what did Zechariah tell him he was going to do with the angel? I probably need to make that clear. What did the angel tell Zechariah that he was going to do? I need to fix that. I don't know. I've got a capital H. Shouldn't be a capital H. All right. So this is question number. Yeah. Sorry about that. Okay. You're writing that down for me.
Yeah. The angel who talked with me came again and wakened me as a man who is wakened out of his sleep. He said to me, "What do you see?" I said, "I have seen, and behold, a lampstand of all gold, with its bowl on the top of it, and its 7 lamps on it. There are 7 pipes to each of the lamps which are in the top of it, and 2 olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on the left side of it." I answered and spoke to the angel who talked with me, saying, "What are these, my lord?" Then the angel who talked with me answered me, "Don't you know what these are?" I said, "No, my lord." Then he answered and spoke to me, saying, "This is Yahweh's word to Jezebel, and saying, 'Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of armies.'" Zerubbabel. I'm sorry.
That's a funny word. Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel. Right. Zerubbabel is like the man of God. Zerubbabel.
I'll get it right this time.
All right.
"So who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you are a plain, and he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace to it. Moreover, Yahweh's word came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it, and you will know that Yahweh of armies has sent me to you. Indeed, who despises a day of small things? For these 7 shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. These are Yahweh's eyes, which run back and forth through the whole earth.' Then I asked him, 'What are these 2 olive trees on the right side of the lamp and on the left side of it?' I asked him the second time, 'What are these 2 olive branches, which are beside the 2 golden spouts that pour the golden oil out of themselves?' He answered me, 'Don't you know what these are?' I said, 'No, my lord.' Then he said, 'These are the 2 anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth.'"
Amen. All right. That's a lot. That was a lot. That was a lot. But I wanted you to see the whole conversation that the angel had, the answer that he gave to Zechariah. Okay. So he's saying that there are the righteous who will do this amazing job. And as it says in verse 6, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. That's the only way we're going to get this job done. The job of the earth being filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the sea, which is our great commission to have people who love the Lord all over the world. No more demon worship, but only worshiping the Lord, right? And so it says that Watch verse 7. Who are you, great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you are a plain, and he will bring out the capstone with shouts of grace, grace to it. What is this capstone? Let me show you a picture of this. This is a capstone right here. The Lord is building his, that's basically his temple. Remember how it says that we're stones, holy stones, and the Lord is fitted, or and he's the foundation stone, and that we are around him. It doesn't mean he's on the corner. We would normally think it's a cornerstone, but he's the foundation stone. The cornerstone kind of misleads us into thinking it's on the corner. It's that he's in the middle, and that we're fitted around him, and all of us fit around our Lord Jesus, and that we're all being built up like this amazing pyramid. And the capstone is when it's like, okay, it's finished. The earth is full of the glory of the Lord. The earth is filled with righteous people who love the Lord, and the evildoers are gone. And so they've used, of course, our pyramid symbol for evil. Go ahead. You have a question or a thought, Miss Tammy?
Is that missing or messing?
Oh, okay. Where, let's see. Oh, the, isn't that funny? The messing part? I don't know. I just grabbed that picture off of the web. Okay. So I can show you. I have no idea, you know, what they're trying to get across right there. Maybe trying to be funny. I don't know. Anyway. So it's the point about when the capstone is placed and the earth is finally filled with the knowledge of the Lord, it's like everyone shouts grace to it, grace to it. The world is filled with grace. The world, earth is filled with, everything's filled with grace, whether it's the financial systems or the educational systems or the entertainment systems. Everything is filled with grace. And so that's what's going to happen. And nothing can stop Zerubbabel, the man of God, the people of God. And so, okay, so I want you to see that. And it's obviously by the Spirit of the Lord. And then he talks here about these seven lamps. Let me go back to verse 2. I've seen and behold a lampstand all of gold with its gold with its bowl on top of it. It's seven lamps on it, seven pipes to each of the lamps, which are on the top of it, and two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and on the other on the left side of it. If you remember, that's what it talks about in the book of Revelation. It talks about the lampstand and the olive oil. Okay, so I don't have that verse right here in front of me, but let me just go ahead and pull that up. All right, let me pull that up. I think it's in Revelation 11. Yeah, right here. Okay, so everybody see this? Let me make sure we're all tracking. Everything's looking good. All right. So if you notice right here in Revelation chapter 11, it says I was given a reed, like a measuring rod. Okay, if you notice here in Zechariah, he was given a plumb line. Let me back up to that. Okay, so he was, where does it say that? What do you see? I've seen these. Okay, he says, I remember when you read, you said something about a plumb line. Where was that?
That was near the beginning. So,
yeah. But the Lord will lay the foundation and his hands will finish it. And you will know that the Lord sent, you know, did this thing. Okay, here it is, verse 10. It says, for these seven shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. So if you're a builder, you know that the plumb line is where you want to get everything square, everything straight. Especially if you're going to try to build, this, you better know what you're doing. Or that's going to be the wonkiest looking pyramid there ever was. And the same thing with the Lord and with him building his house in this world. He has to, you know, only the Lord could do this. Only the Lord could do this. Everything that they've done to try to stop us has really only been to actually propel. If you remember the poor people who were, you know, in the Roman times, they said, well, we'll know what we'll do. We'll put them up before the lions and have the lions rip them apart. And would you believe that actually caused the people, you know, more people to turn to the Lord, similar to, you know, what everybody saw with Charlie Kirk. And it's caused not people to cower in fear, but to people to say, I want to live that kind of life where I have something of meaning in my life that is worth, you know, risking it all for. All right, so I wanted you to see this is this plumb line. And so this is also talked about in the book of Revelation, right back here. So you do you see how they're really, really similar. These two olive trees and the two lampstands, verse 4 of Revelation 11, they stand before the God of the earth. Let me make it a little bit bigger so you can actually see what I'm trying to read. All right, so they stand before the God of the earth, and if anyone wants to harm them, fire proceeds from their mouth and devours their enemies. And if anyone wants to harm them, then he must be killed in this manner. What is this? These are the ones who work righteousness in the earth. Of course, olive trees is for the healing, and the lampstand is for light. Who are the ones who give the light and the healing in the world? Well, it's supposed to be these two witnesses. Go all into this in the book, End Times and 1,000 Years Apiece. I go into lots of detail about this, but bottom line, the two are the church and the state. What are the two institutions that the Lord has established to produce righteousness in the earth? It's the church and the state, but they've both, unfortunately, been hijacked. This is what the truth is about the two witnesses in Revelation 11. It's not about an individual, just like the Antichrist, it's not about an individual. It's about these institutions that he has assigned for this special duty that, as we've been talking about this week, Romans 13 talks about how the Lord has given the sword to the government, and they don't wield it in vain. And they're a fear to the evildoers, right? When you have the institutions being run by the righteous. But when they're run by the evildoers, they're not worried at all. Comey hadn't been worried at all until now. Yeah. Until now. Yeah. Sounds like they're panicking. Interesting that he didn't turn himself in yesterday, which is interesting. I guess he still feels so prideful. He feels like he doesn't have to worry about it. But anyway, I just think it's so cool how this passage in Zechariah is so similar to what we see in Revelation chapter 11, talking about the olive trees and the lampstands. So that gives us an indication of what it's talking about here. Of course, to lay this foundation, you have to have the light, the beautiful, and then how is the light, energized? It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Truth without the Spirit of God really doesn't do a lot of good. We need both. We need the truth. What's that verse that says, speaking all things in love? It's all by the Spirit of the Lord. Really, it's just His Spirit. Speaking truth is what we need. All right, so that's, I'm going to read it again to you so you'll see what it's talking about. I've seen, behold, a lamp standing, a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on top of it, 7 lamps on it with 7 pipes to each of the lamps which are on the top, 2 olive trees by it, 1 on the right side, the other on the left side. The olive oil from the olive trees feeds into the lamp to give them the light. Now, we don't have oil-burning lamps anymore, but people who did have oil-burning lamps, this made perfectly good sense. They're like, oh, it would be great if I just had an olive tree right here beside my lamp, and it would continually feed into my my lamp. Did I say that right? I wish I had an olive tree right here that would feed the olive oil right into my lamp, and then I wouldn't have to go and press it and go and pour it in there. It would just continually give me light. How cool is that? This is the symbolic of the Spirit of the Lord giving us continually, giving light to humanity to work righteousness. How you like that, everybody? How cool is that? Isn't that wonderful? All right, so then I think, let's see if there's anything else. I asked him the second time, because you saw he says, I don't know what this is. Well, he says, what are these 2 olive trees on the right side of the lampstand and on the left? I asked him the second time, what are these 2 olive branches, which are beside this 2 golden spouts that pour the golden oil out for themselves? He answered me, don't you know? He says, no, no. He says, these are the 2 anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Who is supposed to bring the light into this world? The church, the religious institutions, and the government. They're supposed to. They're the 2 anointed ones. They're anointed for this purpose. But they haven't been done it because they were hijacked and infiltrated. And I mean, super quick before we go on, while we're on this topic, farther down here it says in verse 7, when in Revelation 11, verse 7, when they finish their testimony, the beast that ascends out of the bottomless pit, Satan, the Antichrist, will make war against them, overcome them, and kill them. In other words, when they have been broken, it also talks in Daniel chapter 9, then their power is broken. They have no more power to stop the evildoers because of the infiltration has just become so much like a someone who's just been overtaken with disease, and it's just like it's overtaken the body. They overtook the church and the religious institutions and the government institutions so that they were useless. But of course, they still have the churches on every corner. They have the government institutions on every corner. You think of, you know, we have all this. We don't need more government. We need the same. We need government, but just remove all the bad guys from running it. And then everything's going to be wonderful. All right, so now I want you to go. Let's go back to this. Does that make sense, everybody? He's telling Zechariah these two anointed ones who stand by the Lord of the whole earth. I'm sure Zechariah still didn't get it, but we get it. These are the ones that are anointed, the church and the state are anointed to bring righteousness and to punish evildoers, right? So, all right. Anything else you want to add to that, Miss Tammy?
No, it's just that when that happens, I agree with you that we have all the right things in place. We just now need the right people to be in place.
Exactly.
And we're slowly getting them. Yes. We're seeing more and more people being pulled from these positions, the judges, the everything. So it's happening.
Yes.
It is happening.
Yes. And it's going to, you know, it's just, right. But it's going to happen. Then it's going to happen quickly. Well, because when people go to jail, they can't run things
anymore. Like they were saying, they need certain people in place so that they can get certain laws passed so that we can get these things to happen. So they're putting things in place that maybe we're not being made aware of. So right. When that moment happens, it will happen quickly, I think.
Yes. I'm ready. I know everybody here is ready. All right. So here are two passages that we're going to read that are really very similar to what we're just reading here that, you know, it just connects some more of these dots. Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, and then Revelation 11, 4 through 6, which I just read Revelation 11, 4 through 6. And so I'm sorry about that. For those of you who have the book, you'll see that we have the wrong verse, but we're going to remedy that. So sorry. That's not Revelation 11, 4 through 6. I was looking at it like, that's not the verse. Revelation 11, 4 through 6 was the one I just read to you where it was talking about the two olive trees and the two lampstands. Okay, so that was that. But then what does it say in Ephesians 2, 19 through 22, Miss Tammy?
Okay, so then you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, being built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit.
Okay, I think your kitty cat was messing with your kid. Yeah, we don't have to do the revelation. They got that, okay. One. That's good. Yeah, so the point of this Ephesians 2 is like what the angel was telling Zechariah is that the Lord would be building this temple. And again, don't think of a building. It's not a building with stones. You are the stones. You are the living stones. I probably should add that passage in here, is that we are the living stones that fitted together. Does it say here, living? Does it say that in here? The living? I don't think it does in this passage. See, this is the WEB, so I'm missing some of the words that I'm so accustomed to hearing. In whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Okay, but bottom line, we're living stones. It's not, you know, the point is it's about building people, not building buildings. We have clearly seen we don't need more buildings. We do not need more buildings. We need the Spirit of the Lord, and we're seeing the Lord working in the people, especially right now. I feel like this was the mass start awakening for people to say, okay, you know, I'm giving my life to the Lord because, you know, living for self is just a dead end. So beautiful, beautiful days we're living in. I hope you guys are enjoying it. Okay, so yeah, when you see this about this being fitted together, you think about, you know, if you put together a pyramid, you know, maybe I could build a square building, but to build a pyramid, you've got to be precise and exact. And so this is what the Lord is saying, is he has put us all together like this beautiful pyramid, like a beautiful puzzle to exactly what he wants us to do, each one of us. And very, very exciting. So were built on the foundation. Not just we're starting from scratch. We have a foundation of the apostles and the prophets. This is why we're going back here to Zechariah. This is why we're going back to Nahum and Micah and Zephaniah and, you know, all these who have gone before us, who have laid this foundation of truth. And so it's really, really wonderful. In my opinion, I don't really know that we need new prophecy. We need to understand the prophecies the Lord has already given to us. Let's just focus on those first, and then we can maybe do something else. Anyway, so I just think that's really very exciting how we're being built on this wonderful truth, and we're seeing it happen before our eyes. Christ himself is that chief cornerstone, right? I really think it's in the middle of the pyramid, and so that we're all closely fitted around him and you know, obviously connected to him. Because everything else does, nothing else works except Jesus. All right, so this everyone fitted together grows into this holy temple. Yeah, mm-hmm. In whom you're built together for a habitation of God in the Spirit. A habitation of God in the Spirit. By the way, just while we're on this subject too, there was someone actually took the exact design that the Lord gave to Moses for building the tabernacle in the wilderness, and he made one. He took the exact all the fabric, he got it cut exactly like the Lord told in Moses to do it, and he could not build a square tabernacle. It just didn't fit. And it turned out it was like a tent. It was round, you know, like what you'd think of as a tent. And so it really goes back to what I think is true, is that the picture is that we're all, you know, closer together. I don't know if that really makes a difference to you, but I think it's cool. all right, so that was something I think I found on YouTube years and years ago. Actually, one of the things, when I went back onto my YouTube, I've got something tickling my nose. When I went over onto YouTube, I noticed that all of my old videos were there. They did not remove them. And also all my playlists are there. And so they're available. And so I think that probably that video, I would save things for people. I bet that's there. All these things that I had been saving for, you know, for all those, that time. All right. Anything else we need to add before we jet? Mm-hmm. Okay. So I think this was good that we didn't, you know, do too much. Okay. Because we'd be here all afternoon if we were doing the whole of Zechariah. I hope that's a great way to start. I hope that really encourages you about how fun Zechariah is and how, you know, as we just talked about, we'll review again next week before we go into it more. But yeah, that the Lord has selected us for this day, just like he did Joshua. He has made sure that we are prepared for this day, and you know, he's saved us like a stick out of the fire, right? And he says, those who plundered us, we will plunder. We'll plunder them, and that the Lord loves us, and he has a perfect plan for us. And also, it says, it's going to be by his Spirit. Clearly, that's the only way we can get this done, and it's by, you know, him pouring the holy oil into us to be able to give us the light that we need to do this job, and also in for our religious institutions and our government institutions. All right, I think that's it. Okay, we're gonna pray and we're gonna jet. All right, and I will be on the chat for a little bit. So in case anybody had a question or a thought, we'll look at that over there. All right. We love you, Lord. We thank you that you've given all this to us and that we stand on the foundation that you've already laid with these amazing prophets. Thank you for Zechariah. And he didn't understand either. We haven't understood for so long, but you have revealed it. Just like you told Daniel you would. You would reveal these things in the last days. You would help us to understand, because we needed to know. And we needed to understand what was going on so we could fight. Thank you, Lord, for your Spirit. Thank you that you pour your holy oil into us to give us the power and the courage and the strength to keep going and to fight this battle. I thank you that you have fitted us together. You've brought us together so we could join in this great day, and that we're all really just, it's all about you and about following in whatever you're leading each one of us to do. I thank you that you're guiding each one, and I just pray you continue to protect them and guide them until we see this golden age. We can't wait. We're ready for the Day of Atonement that you've promised, that on this day you'll set us free from our enemies, and that all the debts will be canceled and the captives freed. We don't know exactly how that's going to work out, but we trust your plan. We trust your timing on all of it. And I ask you to continue to bless our wonderful president as he is leading the charge. Bless all those that you have placed in these wonderful positions of authority, that they will get the job done. And we just trust you every minute. We trust your plan. We pray all this in your wonderful name, King Jesus. Amen. All right, everybody. I love you. We love you. We'll go. And now don't forget, I'll see you tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Central Standard Time. All right? I love you. And we will talk to you later.